The second period is the Neolithic, which is conventionally supposed to have started around 10,000 to 12,000 years ago and lasted until the dawn of the Bronze Age, say 5,300 years ago. Chronology is contentious, and the transitions between phases vary significantly between regions, and of course there's no clear boundary between the different eras. Some hunter-gatherers started to settle for some of the year, while continuing to wander for the rest. No doubt they started to manage the land, perhaps by planting trees whose fruit they liked to eat, long before anything like systematic farming happened. But nonetheless, the division was eventually very real. Wanderers stopped wandering. Their geographical world became smaller. They no longer had to know and relate to a huge number of species. They could get by, and eventually had to get by knowing just the cow, a subdued and truncated aurochs, in the field behind the hut, and one species of specialized grass with big seeds. It didn't take long, a few thousand years, before everything, including humans, was subdued and truncated. The relationship with the natural world was changed from one of awe for and dependence on everything to control of a few square feet and a few species. Although the mental attitude of the Neolithic was hubristic control, the reality was very different. Humans began to be controlled. They had to stay in their settlements. They had to get in the harvest. Settlement brought politics, hierarchy, and man-made law. Lives shortened. Pestilence galloped. Bones were distorted by strenuous grinding and lifting. The enslavers of pigs and reapers of corn were themselves enslaved and scythed down. The cycle of the seasons, which had previously propelled them, now ground them down, and they were tyrannized, not enriched, by the law of supply and demand. Leisure vanished. Hubris gets you in the end, ask any Greek. The grand tales of the Upper Paleolithic were codified and constricted into the priest-curated stories of Stonehenge. Codification and constriction strangle the mind. Thought as well as sheep were corralled. We see the marks of strangulation in the art. Neolithic art is less accomplished, nuanced, and evocative than the Upper Paleolithic art that preceded it. In the Neolithic, we started to get boring and miserable. The final period, in which, despite some spirited resistance, we still are, is the ironically named Enlightenment. The Enlightenment continued and systematized the revolution that had begun in the Neolithic. The divorce proceedings between humans and the natural world, filed in the Neolithic, were completed. The Decree Nisi was the corpus of Descartes' writing. The Decree Absolute was signed by Kant. The result was the systematic dissolvement of the universe. Until then, and yes, even in the Abrahamic monotheisms, everything had been pregnant with some sort of soul. Aristotle had insisted on it. Eastern Orthodoxy never doubted it for a moment. St. Thomas Aquinas made it canonical for Catholics, the Kabbalists catalogued it, and the Sufis danced it. The Enlightenment abolished souls from the non-human world. The universe was now a machine, governed not by some embodied essence, but by the laws of nature. Laws are a lot less interesting than essences. Because the Enlightenment was, at the beginning, a revolution in Christian brains, humans were allowed to hang on to their souls for a while. But not for long. Soon we were left as machines in a machine. The slogan, "Rage Against the Machine," shows a very precise understanding of what has happened since the 17th century. Darwin might have mitigated some of the disaster. He reminded us that we're part of the natural world, which was the central insight of the Upper Paleolithic. That, properly handled, could have generated a fitting humility. But, by and large, this part of Darwin's message was transmuted into a cynical and dangerous nothing-buttery. He was, wrongly, heard to say that humans are nothing but cogs in the machine, that there is nothing but matter, and so nothing matters. It was a recipe for low self-esteem and wanton environmental destruction. It might be wrong to kill something that has a soul. There's nothing obviously immoral about smashing up a machine. It was now logical enough, and chimed well with Darwinism's identification of competition as the fuel that powered the world's engine, to see humans as Homo economicus,